B'choros Perek Aleph, Mishnah Base 1, 2. The next part of our Mishnah gives a chiddush that's based on a limud from a pasuk, which is that if the offspring of the mother has no resemblance to the mother, so for example, a donkey gives birth to a creature which is a mutant, it has no resemblance to its mother, doesn't look like a donkey, it looks either like a cow or a dragon or even a horse, but not a donkey. So it'll be exempt from the mitzvah of Petzer Chamor based on a pasuk. And the truth is, the same is true if you have a cow, goat, or sheep, which gives birth to an offspring, which is male but a mutant, doesn't look like the parent. So in other words, the cow gives birth to what looks like a donkey. So then it's exempt. It's not a bechor from the cow side because it's mutant, and it's not a Petzer Chamor requirement from the donkey side because his mother's not a donkey. Okay, this is based on a pasuk, and the Mishnah will say it explicitly. So it says inside, Para sheyalda kemin chamor. You have a regular mommy cow, and it gives birth to a male offspring, which is a mutant, and actually looks precisely like a baby donkey. Or a chamor, sheyalda kemin sus. You have a regular mommy donkey that's, everything's normal, and when it gives birth to an animal which looks like a horse, not a donkey. Obviously, horse and donkeys are not that different, but it looks like a horse, not a donkey. In both those cases, pater mina bechora. There'll be no mitzvah of bechora, meaning that even the cow which gave birth to a chamor, there's a chiddush, right? Because both cows and donkeys are subject to bechora requirements. But this is exempt, and all the more so, of course, if a donkey gives birth to a horse, because the horse itself isn't subject to bechora requirements, and the donkey is exempt also because its offspring doesn't look like itself. Shneimar, because the pasuk says, peter chamor shnei pamim. Twice in two different psukim, refers to peter chamor, and the sidrasha tell you, hayoled chamor vahanolad chamor. The obligation doesn't kick in unless both the mother is, like the one who gave birth, is a chamor, and also the offspring, what came out, looks like a chamor, looks like a donkey as well. Now, the Mishnah goes on to ask, umahem ba'achila, what about eating them? Are they kosher? In other words, now, obviously, a donkey which gives birth to a horse, the horse-looking thing is not kosher because it looks like a horse and well, there's a donkey. It's a non-starter. And therefore, actually, the Bartner Gear says not mahem, what is their status, but rather mahu, what is its status? Because in other cases, you have a cow which gives birth to someone which is a mutant, which looks like a donkey. So let's just simplify it and say a cow gives birth to a calf, but the calf doesn't have cloven hooves. It has horse hooves, or it has no feet for that matter, okay? So it's missing the basic simanim of being kosher. So what's the status then? So the answer is, behema tahora shiyalda kamin behema tamea. If it's a kosher animal that gave birth to a creature, and that creature doesn't have the simanim of a kosher animal, so for example, it doesn't have split hooves, mutar bachila, it doesn't matter, you still could eat it. Because, as we'll say in a second, there's a basic principle, which is just that, I'll say in a moment. Utamea, if you have a non-kosher animal, like a donkey, sheyalda kamin behema tahora, if it magically gives birth to some sort of mutant which has, let's say, cloven hooves. So this is a donkey with cloven hooves, or whatever, it's an animal that has cloven hooves that came from a donkey. In that case, still, asur bachila, you cannot eat that offspring. Why? Because there's a general principle which applies across the board, which is basic rule of kashrus, shehayotze mehatame tame, vayotze min hatahor tahor. The product of a kosher animal is kosher, and the product of a non-kosher animal is not kosher. So if you have a kosher animal, let's say a cow, and it gives birth to a creature that doesn't have the kosher simanim, like a calf without feet, without hooves, it's still kosher, and similarly the other way around. Now, this rule applies across the board, so that for that reason why an ostrich egg is not kosher, because an ostrich is not kosher, and camel milk is not kosher because a camel is not kosher. The only, I'll call it exceptions, not exceptions, but the only like question marks you might have are two. Number one is, what's with honey? Bee honey. So insects are not kosher, except for four kinds of chagavim, locust, and bees are certainly not amongst those. But bee honey is, yes, kosher. And the reason why is because, says the Gemara, really gives two reasons. One is gezeiras hakasef, and one is that the bee essentially doesn't produce honey. What it does is it takes the pollen in, and then essentially the pollen stays inside, like I'll call it, it's like a sac on the bee, and then there's some enzymes, whatever, but then the bee, you know, pukes it out, or vomits it out, whatever it is, spits it out, and it's not actually a product of the bee, it's just like fermented nectar, let's call it, so it's a plant product, and therefore it stays kosher. That's what Gemara says. Actually, that's surprisingly close to the actual biological realities. How in the world Chazal knew what goes on inside a bee for making honey is just a true miracle. Amazing. But anyways, that's what the Gemara says, and that's actually what in fact happened. So bee honey is an exception. Just speaking out, for example, other bee products like propolis, if you know what that is, doesn't matter for now. The point is that bee that produces propolis, the propolis is not kosher because it's a bee product. It's kind of like, you know, camel milk. Okay. The other quasi exception, if you will, is mother's milk from like a human mommy. So like nursing children drink mother's milk and it's kosher, of course. There's a din d'rabbanan that non-children shouldn't be nursing from women because that's just disgusting. It's like nursing from a sheretz. It's disgusting. But the point is, it's not technically not kosher. It's not us or on other ice level at all. Okay, but that's because people aren't animals, so the rules of kashrut don't apply. Okay, fine. The last case of the Mishnah is a very obvious what if, but a good question. What if you have a kosher animal, like say a fish, and it swallows a non-kosher animal? So in other words, you catch a salmon, you open it up, and inside the salmon you find a frog or a baby shark or whatever it is, okay? So it was inside the salmon. Salmons are kosher. Frogs and baby sharks are not kosher. What's the status? So the Mishnah is going to say, of course, you cannot eat the frog or the baby shark or snail, whatever it is, because those aren't products of the salmon that is inside the salmon, so they're not kosher. And similarly, if you have a shark and the shark swallows a salmon and you open up the shark and lo and behold, you find a salmon inside there, so shark's not kosher, but the salmon inside is kosher because it didn't grow from the shark. Simple put. That's what the Mishnah says inside. Dag tamei shebala dag tahor. You have a non-kosher type of fish, like a shark, let's say, that swallows a kosher type of fish, let's say the salmon. Mutter b'achila. The salmon is, you're allowed to eat the salmon. The Mishnah is not explicit. What we're talking about, of course, it means the kosher fish inside. You could eat that. This is true, so to speak, wherever in the digestive tract you find the shark. You don't have to like see the shark swallow the salmon. It doesn't have to be like in its mouth. Anywhere you find it, if it's undigested and looks like a salmon, it's kosher as a salmon. V'tahor shebala dag tamei. If you have a kosher animal, like a salmon, that swallows a non-kosher fish, like, I don't know what, like a little baby shark or a clam or something. So asr b'achila, you can't eat the baby shark or the clam, lefi she'eno gidulav, because the clam or the not kosher, baby shark didn't grow from the kosher salmon. It just went in its mouth. So of course it's still not kosher and you cannot eat it. Mm-hmm.